everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Film Book. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, ElectroDragon505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title will explain everything for you. You see, okay, this is a podcast, right? That's the podcast portion of the title, and then I talk about animation. That's why there's the animation portion of the title. You follow me? You follow me? It's not that hard. Okay, but the one thing that doesn't tell you is that it's all about the latest news that happened this week with animation. Now, for example, in today's episode, I'm going to be looking into Inside Out, which was the big, big winner of the Annie Awards, followed up by Frozen, which will have a holiday special and also a previously announced Broadway show, but this time we know a little bit more info. Next up, we got brand new actors that will be joining in to the cast of the new Smurfs movie. Then afterwards, we're going to be looking into Hiromasa Yonebayashi possibly returning to Studio Ghibli, interestingly enough. And finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Film Book, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Now, for the first thing that we're going to discuss, and this is pretty much the biggest thing that occurred, which was the Annie Awards, the biggest night in animation. And funny enough, the only award show that somehow treats animation like a respectable film medium for some reason. But yes, this year, the big, big winner that pretty much dominated everything was, of course, Pixar's Inside Out, winning a big total of 10 Annie Awards, including Best Writing, Best Voice Acting for Phyllis Smith, Best Directing, and of course, Best Animated Feature, among many of the other ones. But Inside Out was not the only winner in terms of movies and stuff like that. There was also The Good Dinosaur that won for Best Animated Effects. And also, The Boy and the World was the first ever animated film to win the brand new category of Best Animated Feature for the independent category. In terms of TV shows, we got a lot of them. There's actually a wide variety. Now, the big winners in here, technically, is Disney's Mickey Mouse, which actually won with 3, and also Bob's Burgers that got away with 2. One of which being Best Voice Acting in a Television Show, which is for Kristen Schaal. Many of the other winners include Elf, Buddy's Christmas Musical or something like that. I believe that's the title. Also going along, we got Dragon's Race to the Edge. The big winner technically for Best TV Show in the children's category is Wander Over Yonder. For preschool children is Tumbleleaf, and for general audience is Simpsons, of course. One of them is Elf Buddy's Musical Adventure. Also, other winners include Gravity Falls. What else we got? The Mr. Peabody and Sherman Show. Mr. Peabody and Sherman Show. That's not really that easy to just go through. And yeah, other notable winners include He Named Me Malala, which is the winner of Best Animated Special Production. And also, The Revenant actually won an Annie Award, believe it or not, for, I just saw it fudging out. Yes, for Best Character Animation in a Live Action Production for The Bear. Now, the one thing I will say about Inside Out winning 10 of them, I am actually both happy and both suspicious, because I absolutely adored Inside Out. It was hands down not only the best animated film of the year, but easily one of the best of the decade. But the fact that it did win 10 of them, like, it is a bit suspicious, and you might wonder if there is any, like, you know, shady activity going on behind the scenes and stuff like that. And the reason why I say this is because this has happened before. When How to Train Your Dragon was the big winner and it took over everything, there was like this huge controversy that occurred. Like, people are starting to notice that maybe DreamWorks Animation has been rigging the Annie Awards and stuff like that. And even Disney was threatening to no longer support the Annies and stuff, which made this massive makeover at the Annies. And ever since then, like, they had a pretty good track record, and everybody was, like, you know, splitting everything. There were several winners of the Annie Awards, especially, like, afterwards when the winners were Rango, Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, and How to Train Your Dragon 2. Now, of course, like I previously said, it was no big surprise that Inside Out was the big winner this year, but I feel like maybe a few other movies could have gotten a few, like, other awards. You know, like, what, like, I could have imagined, like, they could have done something like last year where How to Train Your Dragon 2 was the big winner, but for best writing, they gave it to The Lego Movie. Like, maybe they could have done something similar this year where, even though Inside Out was the big winner, maybe they could have given the award for best writing to Anomalisa. Or, like, honestly, the one thing I was a bit disappointed was that the Peanuts movie didn't win for anything in animation, because, like, the stuff they did there was absolutely freaking revolutionary and just pure genius. It's something that I want to see more people do with computer animation. Like, since we can't really have hand-drawn animation nowadays, like, might as well go with the next best thing and go with this 2.5D animation. It's just really clever. But I'm just, you know, I'm just a little bit disappointed that it didn't win anything else. But yeah, I would say overall, the thing with Inside Out is that I'm only suspicious, not because of the movie itself, because keep in mind, there were other movies other than Inside Out and How to Train Your Dragon that did win 10 Annie Awards. Beforehand, there was, I believe, Kung Fu Panda, which technically did start a little bit of the controversy since that was the big winner and WALL-E didn't win anything. And beforehand, like, even before that, there was The Incredibles. And nobody really complained when The Incredibles occurred because, like, the controversy never really existed back then. It was like, oh my god, The Incredibles won 10 Annie Awards. It's, like, super amazing and stuff like that. And it really is a super amazing movie. But with Inside Out, yeah, it is. But because of the activity that they've done in the past, you're not sure if this is fully legitimate and stuff like that. Like, okay, some of the ones are unavoidable. Like, okay, sure, best director, best animated feature, and stuff like that. Okay, yeah, that's, no, everybody knew for a fact it was going to win that. But, you know, for all the other ones, especially the fact that the one thing that really didn't help the case was that the only other animated feature that won something was The Good Dinosaur. Yeah, sure, it's not Inside Out, but then again, it's still freaking Pixar. So Pixar literally dominated every single award in the movies category except for Best Animated Feature in the Independent category because it didn't get nominated in there. But trust me, if somehow Inside Out could get nominated there, it would have won that too. But yeah, that's how I feel. I feel it's a bit of conflicting emotions. I want to be happy for Inside Out because it definitely deserves the praise. It definitely deserves the awards. But then again, does it really deserve that much Annie Awards? I don't know. Like, is it really legitimate that Inside Out won all this? Or is it because of shady activity from the Annies? But I don't know. Like, I don't want to stir any more controversy. I don't want to make this a big fuss. Maybe it's just a weird thing now. You know, what I want to say is just, it's well handled than how it was with How to Train Your Dragon. So let's just wait next year to see if, like, maybe if this will occur again, if Disney will dominate the Annies and take over, like, all the awards with Zootopia, Finding Dory, and Moana, then we can start noticing a bit of suspicious activity. Other than that, like, maybe it's just a weird coincidence, but all I have to say at this point, I just want to give a major congratulations to both all the winners and to the nominees of this year's Annie Awards. Let's play again and see what happens for next year. Now, our next story could have been, like, a top story, but you know, the Annie Awards, it has to take priority over everything because, like I said, it was the biggest night of animation that would occur every year. But this is another big one, and a lot of it is mixed reactions, honestly. And this is regarding the biggest animated feature of the decade, Frozen. And apparently Disney has announced that there's going to be two big things that will occur with this movie. Number one being that they will be making a holiday special that will air in 2017. However, we do not know what's going to be going on with the special. We don't know the story. The only thing that we know so far is that the directors will be the same people that also worked on Prep and Landing, which is Kevin Dieters and Stevie Wermers Skelton. And the producer will be Roy Conley. And of course, Idina Menzel, Kristen Bell, and Josh Gad will be coming back to reprise their roles. And also, the other thing was the previously announced Broadway musical. This has already been said and done. We already know that Frozen will have a Broadway show coming up. But this time, now we got more info. This time, we know the crew, and also we know the release date, at least by the year. We don't know any specifics. Okay, so in terms of the people, who do we got? Now, of course, the big ones are the people who worked on the movie. There's no big surprise here. The people who will be working on the music, the lyrics, and the score, and all that stuff. Of course, we got Robert and Kristen Anderson Lopez, the modern version of the Sherman Brothers and Alan Menken and Howard Ashman. Like, we got those two. They're going to be working on it. They've previously worked on the film. They've already worked on some Broadway shows, including Book of Mormon and stuff like that. So, oh, and also Avenue Q. So now they're going to be working very hard onto the Broadway show. And the book will be written by one of the directors of Frozen, which is Jennifer Lee.
I was about to say, it's like, oh, is Chris Buck also involved? Oh, okay, no. Chris Buck is also doing something else. But anyways, okay, so we got those people from the movie. They're working on that.
So the people specifically on the show, the director will be Alex Timbers, the Golden Globe and Obie winner, and also two times Tony Award nominee, who has previously worked on Peter and the Starcatchers, Here Lies Love, and Mozart in the Jungle, and also Peter Darling of Billy Elliot and Matilda is going to be the choreographer. Now, the costume design will be done by 7-time Tony Award winner Bob Crowley, and the lighting will be done by 5-time Tony Award winner Natasha Kock, and sound designer will be done by 4-time Tony nominee Peter Hylinski, and also the music supervisor will be done by Stefan Orimus. And that's pretty much most of the cast that we got so far. This is all the crew that we have for the Frozen Broadway musical. Now, it's going to be starting off in 2017 in Denver, like kind of out of town production. So they're going to start off in the testing grounds there. And finally, they will be up in Broadway, ready to be up in 2018. Now, I've seen completely mixed reactions when it comes to this. Like, sure, there are some people who are really excited, those who still love Frozen. They cannot wait to see more adventures with Elsa and Anna and stuff like that. And, they seem pretty excited to see it, to see the brand new TV special that'll be coming up, and also the Broadway show. While others are really not happy about this. Others are really hating Disney for this because this is just an entire cash cow that's just completely milking on the never-ending success of Frozen, actually the success of one thing, and plus the fact that this is on top of other stuff that they are planning with Frozen
including the upcoming Frozen ride that will be coming up this summer in Walt Disney World at Epcot, as well as a sequel to Frozen, which has yet to have a release date at this point. Maybe it's going to be coming up in 2019 or even 2020. You never know. But let me just say this. Now, in terms of the Broadway show, this is not really, this isn't really milking on the success. That has previously been announced and stuff like that. And nobody seems to, the announcement wasn't really that big back then. So nobody knew what to really think about. It might be pretty good. You never know. Plus the fact that, we got the people working on it. And as well, Disney has previously done really successful Broadway shows. Aladdin nowadays is their latest biggest hit, a massive Tony Award winning production. And plus the fact there's no denying The Lion King, which is pretty much the biggest one of the biggest Broadway shows that ever happened. And nobody would have ever suspected it would be this big of a show in New York. And they even have plenty of other movies that they turn into Broadway shows. Mary Poppins, Tarzan. At one point, Beauty and the Beast was huge. From what I recall, any other ones? I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. They had The Little Mermaid. Newsies, technically. Did I say Mary Poppins? Maybe. But anyways, you get what I mean. Disney knows how to make something great. And I remember back when the Broadway show was first announced that Bob Iger said that they are not rushing it. They want to make sure that it's good. That's why they set up all this time. And trust me, if they wanted to milk this immediately, they would have announced it they would have announced it immediately in 2014 with a release date and with everything ready. They wanted to make sure they have it as soon as possible to cash in on the success of Frozen. But no, we only got the details now, and it might be promising. This could be a pretty promising Broadway show. Now, I don't know if it'll be in the way up there in the ranks of Aladdin and The Lion King, but maybe we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. And plus the fact, just imagine with Elsa's ice powers brought into the stage. That is going to be magical. That really is going to be. So I don't really think this is going to be I don't think the Broadway show will be that much of a cash cow. I'm getting some pretty good vibes from the Broadway show. Now, the TV special, on the other hand, yeah, that is a cash cow. I really don't know what else to say, because honestly, with the TV special and stuff like that, that one absolutely does sound like a bit of a cash cow thing. We don't really need additional Frozen stuff. The animated short with Frozen Ever After, that's fine. I can let that slide. You can have that little additional thing. But also including a TV special, that's really pushing it. Now you're really trying to push hard. You already announced that there's going to be a sequel. Let's just wait until we can have that going on. I know previously Disney has done this with the Toy Story TV specials, like Toy Story That Time Forgot and Toy Story of Terror and stuff like that. All right, that's fine. Oh, and also with Prep and Landing. But really, can you just hold on to the Frozen stuff? Just wait a little bit. Maybe the TV show might not be necessary. Maybe it'll be good, but I don't know if it's going to be as good as Frozen itself. Let's just wait, just hold on to it. Just at least after Frozen 2, maybe that's going to be okay for you to release a TV special, but not at this point. That does seem like cashing in on Frozen. But yeah, this is pretty much all to say that I have good hopes for the Broadway show. That's going to be great. The TV special, yeah, I do have hopes as well that it's going to be good, but that one is a little bit too obvious. That's kind of a cash cow. But yeah, the TV special will be released in 2017, and the Broadway show will start off in Denver in 2017 and will land in New York City in 2018. Now, our next story. Now, they pretty much announced this one thing. They pretty much announced, like, a small little thing, but there's just one... There's something else in this news that really caught my eye. And, like, it really shocked me, and I'm surprised they didn't say anything about it. And this is regarding Sony Pictures Animation's upcoming fully animated Smurfs film, Get Smurfy. And what the news is about is that they announced new people joining in. They released this brand new picture of more Smurfs characters. Specifically, we got Brawny Smurfs? Yes. Oh, no, Hefty Smurf. Okay. Yeah, okay. I thought it was Brawny Smurf. Okay. So we got Hefty Smurf by Joe Manganiello. I believe that's his name. I don't know. I was honestly having a bit of difficulties reading it. Also, we got Jack McBrayer playing Clumsy. And also, we got Danny Pudi, who's going to be playing Brainy. Oh, okay, maybe that's where I got the confusion of Brawny and Brainy and stuff like that. Okay, now I get it. So they will be joining Demi Lovato, Rainn Wilson, and Mandy Patinkin as the cast. But this is not the interesting news. This is not the thing that really caught my eye. Apparently, they no longer called it Get Smurfy. That's no longer the title. To my surprise, Sony Pictures Animation has actually changed the title of the movie, and now it is actually called Smurfs: The Lost Village. Is this really Sony doing this? Because really, Smurfs: The Lost Village, now that is a title. That is something that seems appealing for a Smurfs movie. Thank you. Holy crap. This is actually a really good idea. I mean, my God, when I first heard about Get Smurfy, that was absolutely stupid. That is your typical Sony Pictures Animation decision. But now the fact that they changed the title into The Lost Village, that is actually pretty good. I feel a bit confused. It's like, is this really Sony Pictures Animation's idea to do that? Because that's actually a good idea for once. I don't know, like, maybe in the future they could make more smart decisions. Like, maybe they'll cancel the Emoji Movie and maybe also Hotel Transylvania 3 as well. Like, holy crap, that's actually a pretty good idea. And on top of that, they also released a brand new picture with the Smurfs, like showing the characters and stuff like that. We have yet to see what the characters are going to look like in motion and stuff. At this point, like, we're gonna get one pretty soon, but, you know, it's the characters, they still look like the Smurfs. Like, we see Brainy, we see Clumsy, and we see, Hefty. They all look the same, you know, they look like they came out of, the comics. I was about to say, it was like, oh, what's the guy's name who made the comics? I don't know. I apologize that I lost that knowledge. It kind of escaped my brain, but wow, this is actually, you know, this is showing a lot of promise. It really is. Like I said, okay, promise. I'm not saying, like, maybe it might not be as good, but what I'm at least hoping with this movie is that at least it'll be better than than the previous two Smurfs movies that they got, because let's be honest, they really did suck. Despite somehow being their most successful movie, because according to USA Today, it says here that the combining two films, Smurfs and Smurfs 2, got an accumulative total of $911 million worldwide. That's pretty crazy. Arguably, like, well, okay, a lot more successful than the other movies that they've done, but that, like, but with the amount of quality that they put in, it's really not that much. So the one thing that I really am hoping with this movie is that at least it'll be better than those two. Even if it's just okay, even if it's just good, if it's all right, I'll still be satisfied that they did a better movie, and at least it tells me that Sony can learn from their mistakes. And with Kelly Asbury in charge as the director, you know, it's putting me in a good spot. Like, it's showing a bit of promise. I mean, he did an okay job with Romeo and Juliet, but we're also talking about the director of Shrek 2 here, so there's a lot on the line, so there is a lot of promise shown here. I wonder how many times I've said promise at this point. But yeah, so I'm really happy for the brand new title change to The Lost Village. It sounds very interesting, it sounds appealing, and we're gonna wait and see what Smurfs The Lost Village has in store for us when it will be released on March 31st, 2017. Now, our next story is something that suddenly intrigued me, and I really want to know more, like, what they got into. Now, apparently, ABC News went and interviewed with director Hiromasa Yonebayashi, mostly because the movie that he made, When Marnie Was There, was nominated for an Oscar. And surprisingly enough, he will be attending at the Oscars for the 88th Annual Academy Awards on February 28th. Not to say that he will win. Like, I think Inside Out got that seal done. It's just that, you know, he'll be attending. He'll see what's, you know, what the fuss is all about. I mean, Isao Takahata did go to the Oscars when The Tale of the Princess Kaguya was nominated, so at least he's doing that as well. But the interesting thing that he did mention to ABC News was apparently he might actually go back to Studio Ghibli. Because one of the big things that happened back in 2014, back during the time when everybody was freaking out that Studio Ghibli might possibly shut down, was that Hiromasa Yonebayashi he said that he was going to leave Studio Ghibli and he wants to move on to something else and make a movie that would be the opposite of When Marnie Was There. This is not to say that he's going to now make a really crappy movie. Opposite in terms of, like, style of what he wants to do with the movie. So, pretty much the opposite feeling of what you're, like, going to get with When Marnie Was There. But he did say that for now, he did announce that he is back with Studio Ghibli and he's going to be working on a project. However, he did not say anything else. We don't know what the project is going to be. So this is going to be pretty interesting, and we don't know what else is that he has in store. Because at this point with Studio Ghibli, they're going pretty small. They're not going to go big. Business is not going as well as they want it to be, so now they're just going to go and, you know, lay things a little bit low, and they're only going to work on small projects like animated series. I know that right now they are working on the video game Ni no Kuni 2, and working on animated shorts as well, including Hayao Miyazaki's first computer animated project. No, not first computer animated feature. No, guys. It's just a animated short. Calm the fridge down. But with Hiromasa Yonebayashi, what is he going to do? Now, is he just going to do a TV show? Is he just going to be working on an animated short? Or is he going to be working on a movie? I don't know. If he is going to work on a feature film, that is going to make the internet explode. That is going to be pretty big, and everybody's going to be freaking out over the fact that Studio Ghibli might come back. Because out of all the people out there, out of everybody that came in, that like came and went into Studio Ghibli, Hiromasa Yonebayashi is pretty much the closest to be like the next Hayao Miyazaki or the next Isao Takahata, the one that can be like those directors that can pass the baton to. Because honestly, he really did an impeccable job with the movies that he has previously directed, like The Secret World of Arrietty and of course When Marnie Was There. Now, If that were the case, that would be amazing. That would be fantastic. But I don't really know. Like, they, honestly, at this point, Studio Ghibli would have probably announced that they would be making another movie. So that would have been really big. But at this point, I don't know. Maybe I feel like right now, maybe Yonebayashi would want to do something small. Maybe he would just want to do an animated short. If he is going to do something that's going to be the opposite in terms of style with When Marnie Was There, maybe he wants to try to test the waters first with the short before actually doing something big with a movie. So maybe that's going to be more the case. But this is actually pretty interesting to see that Yonebayashi is back at Studio Ghibli. So what is he going to do there? I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Now, before we move on to Matt's Pick of the Week, I just want to give a shout out to Daniel Gerson, who has unfortunately passed away this week due to brain cancer. Now, for those of you who don't know who Daniel Gerson is, he was part of a writing duo along with Robert L. Baird. They have worked on some pretty recent and pretty well-known Disney and Pixar movies. These include Monsters, Inc., Monsters University, and also the Academy Award-winning Big Hero 6. And both of them were even credited to be helping out into the production of movies like Inside Out, Up, and also Chicken Little. And it really is too bad that he has passed away at this point, frighteningly young age at 49, considering that he was pretty much up to his prime. Like, he was getting up there in his game. The most recent film that he wrote, Big Hero 6, he was pretty much up there. He was winning at this point. Like, this is like, now he wrote, like, he just wrote an Academy Award winning movie. And it really is too bad, because, like, you could tell the dude had a lot of creative ideas executed out in stuff like Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University, and even with Big Hero 6. So it really is too bad to see him go. And I want to give out my sympathies to his wife, his kids, his whole family, and also to Robert Baird. You will definitely be missed, dude. But now, as we move on to the Matt's Pick of the Week. Now, this one, I decided to pick this because this is more, a little bit of a personal thing, because this is something huge that's going on in my home city of Montreal. And this is regarding Cinesit. Now, for those of you who don't know, Cinesit is a studio that specializes in visual effects and animation. And they decided that they're going to do something really big with animation, and they will launch a major animation studio with Cinesit Animation down in Montreal. And they have even already announced that for the next 5 years, that they will be working on a total of 9 animated features. Yeah, I know, 9 animated films in 5 years. That's actually pretty crazy. It will be a big place that's going to be having more, that will be increasing more than 500 jobs by 2020. And of course, this will be helped out by the Quebec government, and even the Quebec Premier Philippe Couillard even mentioned, "Our government supports this project's realization, which will promote the advancements in Quebec of a leading edge expertise in the production of animated films, a rapidly growing field at the moment." So even Philippe Couillard is starting to notice how animation is growing really, really big. And they even announced a new project. Well, not necessarily a new project, but they already announced that they are currently working on an animated feature, which has already been announced, which is Claws. For those of you who don't know, this is the combining project, the animated feature that will mix hand-drawn animation with computer animation that will be directed and written by Sergio Pablos under his SPA Studios, who is also the co-creator of Despicable Me. And I gotta say that with Cinesit, I am pretty ecstatic to hear that Montreal is finally gonna get a new big animation studio coming up. Like, we already have the National Film Board of Canada, and like, we've already done a lot of animated shorts that have went on to be nominated and even win some Oscars for best animated short. But now that we're going to have a big animation studio that's going to make legit animated features, possibly some that could maybe go be released in theaters worldwide, like Cinesit Animations could be like the next big deal. Maybe like it's going to be going up there against like Illuminations and Paramount Animation and stuff like that. So you never know. This is going to be pretty crazy. Especially that this movie, that this studio will be responsible for Klaus. This is going to be awesome. Like, I was already loving what they were doing with Klaus, but the fact that now it's going to be Montreal made, that's actually pretty crazy. Like if this movie ends up being really good, like, I'm going to be fully honored. Like, this is going to be like I'm going to put as much love into that thing as much as like the Montreal Canadiens and stuff like that. This is going to be really, really awesome. And I just want to mention right now, for those of you who are probably unaware about Montreal and stuff like that in terms of animation, trust me when I say that Montreal is very, very, very rich in artists and animators and stuff like that. A lot of great ones actually do come from Montreal. I believe one of them right now is already in Los Angeles and is the character designer for Star and the Forces of Evil, I believe. I forgot her name, but yeah, she's pretty much doing that right now. And on top of that, the biggest thing in Montreal is that a lot of people claim that it is the Hollywood of video games. Like, a lot of big video games were done here. We have Eidos Montreal, which is the company that made, Deus Ex Human Revolution. And not to mention, this is the home of freaking Ubisoft Montreal. This is the place where we made the Rainbow Six games, we made Prince of Persia, we made Assassin's Creed, among many other projects. I believe we've done some of the Far Cry games as well. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, this is just to say that Ubisoft Montreal is definitely one of the big studios that made Ubisoft a household name in the video game industry. So keep in mind, Montreal, like I said, Montreal is very rich in terms of animators, artists, and like pretty much really big in the creative field. So seeing that now that we got a big animation studio, that's going to really level up some things, and this is going to be fantastic. And I just want to say right now to Cinesit and to the people that will eventually work there or is working there and stuff like that, that you have 100% my support. Like, if there's any help that you would like me to bring in, like, I don't know, like, if you actually have some if you need some voice acting help and stuff like that, I would be more than happy to help and, you know, to come out and help you out there. That would be amazing. But yeah, if there's any help that you need or anything like that, you have my entire support, Cinesit. I can even go out there and personally help you out with some stuff. So, yeah, this is just all to say that, yeah, like I said, you have my entire support, Cinesit. This is, and honestly, welcome to Montreal. And that is all that I've got for this week, so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com, just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on my Twitter at AnimeF505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a favor and rate and review this episode? That would be great. If you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button in our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the video, on, well, not the video, but the news this
this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time, see you later, dudes.